Okay, so we are back here again. Now I am recording again. We are learning the second Hashkafic Mitzvah of Rav Hirsch in Toros. He calls it Achdus Hashem. And Sefer HaChinuch, this time, has, again, a similar mitzvah. Last time he quoted the same pasuk with a different kind of mitzvah, right? Rav Hirsch's was called, hold on, let me get my Hirsch out. Rav Hirsch, he titled it, it was slightly different, he titled it Kabbalas Ol Melachos Shamayim, and Sefer HaChinuch titled it Mitzvah HaEmunas BaHashem, the mitzvah of just like believing in God, okay? This time they have the same title for the mitzvah, which is Achdus Hashem, the unity of God, okay? The oneness of God, but you'll see they take it in incredibly different ways, which is why this Chaburah is super fun, and again, especially Rav Hirsch, just like blows my mind every time I read it, and learn him. Okay, so that was my little preamble. Let's go straight into it. Okay, here's the source pasuk. Here we go on this little source sheet that I made a little bit bigger this time because there's a lot of little words on it. Okay, ready? Achdus Hashem. That's what they both call it. Here we go. Okay, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Anyone recognize that pasuk? It's a little familiar. Here's the second source that Rav Hirsch brings. Again, this is the one that also Sefer HaChinuch brings. Rav Hirsch says, "V'yadata hayom hashebos el avecha ki Hashem Elokeinu b'shamayim me'al v'al haaretz mitachas ein od." Okay, that Hashem alone, this is fun, I love the translation over here, right? That Hashem alone is God in heaven above, and there is no other. I like this also. Hashem is our God, Hashem alone. Okay, that's like a pretty good, like, English translation of what this means as the Hashkafic mitzvah. Okay, so here's the Sefer HaChinuch. We're going to go through it again, like, relatively fast, and then we're going to do Rav Hirsch down here. Okay, again, there's a lot of words, but don't worry. What I did here is on this column, this right column, is this mitzvah, again, mitzvah number 417, mitzvah Achdus Hashem, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which Moshe says in Devarim, versus on this column is actually the previous mitzvah, okay? Because in Sefer HaChinuch, it's very similar. Last time, it was the belief in God, and this time, it's the unity of God, meaning that you believe in God, it has to be funded on this, right? Mitzvah 25 has to come first, but now there's an extra thing, which is like believing in God correctly, right? It's not only believing in God, and it's not according to the Sefer HaChinuch, we're going to see what he does, but it's not that. What I would think is that, like, believing in God is necessary but not sufficient, right? You have to believe in God, but then you also have to believe in God correctly, or maybe those would all just be like zooped into one, and he doesn't do that. He kind of takes a different route, which is interesting, and I'm not 100% sure exactly what to do with it. I just texted like a Shiloh to one of my rabbis, which I'll try to get back to you guys about what he answers to it. Okay, ready? Here we go. Shenitz Davina. So this is Rav Hirsch. Sorry, this is Sefer HaChinuch on this mitzvah. Shenitz Davina l'hamin ki Hashem Yisbarach hu poel kol ha-metzius, Adon kol, right? He made everything. He is in control of anything, everything. Echad b'li shum shituf. And he is one without any partners. Shene emar, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenel, Shema Echad, v'zeh mitzvah asehu, eno hagada. Okay, this isn't just like Moshe saying something nice. It's actually Moshe giving us a mitzvah. This mitzvah, the formulation of this mitzvah, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenel, Shema Echad, sounds different than the formulation of Mot's mitzvahs, right? It doesn't seem like it's telling us to do something. So here's Sefer HaChinuch saying, don't let that fool you, right? Even though it sounds like Moshe's just making a statement, actually what he's doing is he's telling you a direct mitzvah aseh. This is something that you have to do. You have to believe in God, and you have to believe that God is one. So again, he has three parts. Does that sound familiar, by the way, having three parts? Last time, again, just for funsies, right? Last time, Sefer HaChinuch also had three parts to his mitzvah. Do you remember that? Here it is. Lahamin, Sheish Olam Eloka Echad. There's one God. Shehimtzi Kol HaNimtza. It sounds exactly the same, right? Poel Kol HaMetzius. V'chetzo Haya Kol Ma Shehaya and in his control is everything that happens. It sounds exactly like our Adon Kol. It's almost exactly parallel. But the third part here, remember, of this Sefer HaChinuch is who hotzianu mi'aretz Mitzrayim, and that he brought us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Which, by the way, remember from last time, Sefer HaChinuch basically completely ignored this third part, and he talked instead about these two. Here, Sefer HaChinuch is going to do the opposite. He gives us also three parts. He's going to basically completely ignore the first two parts. The fact that Hashem created everything and is in control of everything, because by the way, that was already Mitzvah 25. I don't have to go into that. And instead, he's going to focus on this third piece, Echad B'li Shituf. That's the piece that he's going to focus on in the rest of the Sefer HaChinuch, because that's the Achdus Hashem. Okay. V'zeh mitzvahs asehu eino hagada, aval pirishma klomar, right? Even though Moshe said shma, it sounds like he's just like making a statement. Kabel imenu davar zeh v'de'u v'ha'amin bo. He's telling you to do something. You have to get it. He's telling you, get this mitzvah. Ki Hashem shehu elokeinu echad hu. Hashem, who is our God, is actually only one. V'haraya shezohi mitzvahs aseh amram zecharnal brecha. Okay, and then he basically says, like, Chazal go on and on about in different midrashim and stuff like that about how this is actually a mitzvahs aseh and not just like a correct, like, just like a statement of of Moshe Rabbeinu, okay? Through the Kabbalah of Omach HaShemayim. And again, fascinatingly, here he uses the phrase of what Rav Hirsch labeled the previous mitzvah, okay? Kabbalah of Omach HaShemayim. Klomar ha'oda b'yichud v'hamuna. So Sefer Chinuch sees these two as very related. You have to believe in God, and you also have to believe, as you're believing in God correctly, that God is one. Shorosh mitzvah zu yadua. The root of this mitzvah is well known to everybody. Kizeh ikir emunas kol b'nei adam. Come on. Everybody who believes in God believes this, which is fascinating. He takes monotheism for granted, basically, right? He doesn't like go into the philosophical debate around monotheism, which we're going to do in a second, or we're going to do like later on, not super into it, but slightly into it, right? He's just like, everybody knows this. This is like the ikar of everybody's emunah. V'hu ha'amud ha'chazak sh'aliv kol ben da'as samochalov, right? And this is like what everyone's dependent on. He has the same kind of shorosh mitzvah last time. Shorosh mitzvah zo eino tzarech bir. It doesn't need explanation, right? It's basically completely obvious. So sometimes in the Sefer HaChinuch, this shorosh mitzvah, and I'm sure we'll encounter one sooner or later, right? In Sefer HaChinuch, often the shorosh mitzvah goes on and on and on and on and on, explaining like why we need this kind of mitzvah. Here, which again, I think is how we generally think about it, Sefer HaChinuch is like, I don't need to do that. Everybody knows that you have to believe in God, and everybody knows that you have to believe in God and what is one, otherwise everything falls apart. Here's where things again get interesting. I'm not 100% sure why they get so interesting, okay? But in the Dinei HaMitzvah, what's the law of the mitzvah? To bring you back to what happened last time. Again, last time I would think that this side would be much longer. I mean, listen, I skipped some things. There's a little dot, dot, dot. But I would think that he would go in more into it here. Because this one is like mitzvah to believe in Hashem. And he goes sort of into it, right? He says, Kagon ma'ashem mechayev alav laha amin alav. We have to believe that, okay, I'll just read it in Hebrew. Shemechayev alav laha amin alav, shakol hayecholas v'gol hagedula v'hagivura v'atiferes v'chol ahod v'chol abrocha v'chol akiyumbo. Right, Hashem has everything. And then he basically says, listen, you know, it's your responsibility to learn up philosophy. Go read some philosophy books. V'shar devarim rabim hane emorim be'inyan zeh kulam mevarim besifra yodei chachmas ha'elokus ashrei hazochim eleha. Right, like go learn it if you can. Here, he goes a little bit more moral. Let's listen to what he says. Midinei ha-mitzvah. What's our mitzvah? Okay, here again in Achdus Hashem. Ma she'amar zichrono l'bracha, shechayav kol adam yisrael l'harig al mitzvas yichud. There's a mitzvah to give your life for this hashkafa, for this philosophy. L'fi she'kol she'enu moda b'yichud baruch hu ke'ilu kofer b'ikar. Anyone who doesn't believe this is completely missing the point. She'en shlimash ha-mamshela v'ahod ela im Achdus ha-gemura. You can't, if you just have this side, if you just have mitzvah 25 without mitzvah 417, right, you're really missing the point. To the fact that, which again, is something that I never really thought about, a Yahrog V'al Yavor, which Yahrog V'al Yavor is he talking about here, right? It's kind of obvious, but I'll keep reading. Let's keep reading, and then we'll talk about it. She'ein shlimah shel mamshela, okay, we did that. V'lev kol chacham v'lev yavchin zeh, right? Anyone who is intelligent at all understands this. V'im kein harei mitzvah zo miklal iser avodah zarah. So this mitzvah is included in the category of avodah zarah. Now this is fascinating because it teaches you that Sefer HaChinuch thinks about mitzvos in categories. Until he said this, I didn't know this. And he doesn't see this mitzvah in the category of emunah b'Hashem. He sees this mitzvah in the category of avodah zarah. And until he said this also, I never really thought about the fact that we're required to give our lives about avodah zarah, but we're not required to give our lives over the mitzvah of emunah. But then I was thinking, this is what I texted Rav Kari, which I'm not sure about, I'll let you know when he answers, but like maybe avodah zarah means it's an active thing, right? Like what you believe is what you believe. You can't like give your life over, you can't change your, right? Like what are you going to give your life over? If you're saying something, if you're lying, like if you're lying about your belief system versus avodah zarah, it seems like you're doing something. In which case, maybe here, Sefer HaChinuch includes in this doing something, but he's not clear about that. So again, I'm not sure about it. If you're interested in that, we can talk it out later, but I think most of us probably aren't. And let's move on to Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, but that's something that I'm kind of like left thinking about. I'm really not sure. And I never thought about that before, that avodah zarah in a certain way is a more severe mitzvah. To believe partially in God, but to get it wrong in a certain way, we take more seriously than not believing in God at all. Which is like really interesting. And I'm not sure why. Okay. Okay. And he says basically the other details you can catch in different midrashos and stuff like that. Okay. V'noheges mitzvah zo b'chol makom b'chol zman b'zecharim ibn kevos. Okay, obviously the same is for this one. V'ha'over al zeh. And again, here he goes more strict, just like we would expect him to, because this is a yaharog v'al yavar. V'ha'over al zeh. V'einu ma'amin b'yichudo. If you believe in God, but you don't believe that God is one, Okay, ve'enu mamin b'yichudu baruch hu b'tel aseh. You miss everything. You miss the entire point. Because it's all dependent not only on believing in God, but also the believing in God is one. And you've, again, missed the point. And you're not part of Bnei Yisrael. And he goes on. He's hammering it down. He's hammering it on our heads. But you're part of this, like, branch off that gets everything completely wrong. And you're one of them. And Hashem has separated you out to give you bad. And then he goes in parentheses and he says, by the way, this is a hashkafic mitzvah, which the other one was also. Okay, this is one of the mitzvahs that I talked about at the beginning of the sefer. That you always have to believe in them. You always, right? It's a constant mitzvah, meaning it's a shkafik mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in your mind and in your heart. You never stop it. There's no time that you're obligated and a time that you're not obligated. You're always obligated. Even for any instant. Okay, and again, it's funny, interesting, isn't it, to compare it to here, which is just general emuna. So again, he says, like, listen, you're also out of the fold if you don't believe in God. Like I said, that's it. You get one line over here when we're talking about belief in God, and you get like three or four lines about how severe it is when you believe in God but get it wrong. Okay, so again, exactly why this is, I'm not sure. Has anyone heard this before? Like, has anyone heard an explanation of this before? My only assumption is, like, maybe Avodah Zarah is, again, tied to action, but here, Sefer HaChinuch is not tying it to action. He's just talking about what we believe, and Yarog V'al Yavor, and, like, it's more severe to believe, to be off in your belief than to be off in your belief at the core. So I'm not really sure why. Again, I'm trying to find the answer to that. Someone recently called me out in the chabur that I gave here, which I really appreciated, but she was like, sometimes you raise these big questions and then you don't answer them. And she's like, that's kind of hard. So I was like, amen, girl. So here I was like, I'm going to raise this question. And then I'm like, I don't know. It's really interesting for me. And she's like, it bothers me when you do that and then you don't answer them. So I'm trying to be more conscientious about finding the answers to questions that we raise in a chabur together. So I am trying to find the answer to that question. And if I hear anything interesting, I will either post it on the group or anyone who's interested in it could let me know on the side if it's bothering you too. And I'll share with you. Okay, that's it for HaChinuch. So again, just a basic, Sefer HaChinuch does not bother to explain really what Yichud is or why we might believe something else or anything like that. Rav Hirsch is going to go a little bit more into it, but again, not completely. Because if we remember from our introduction class, Choriv is supposed to be the part two of Rav Hirsch. The first part is supposed to talk about God and why we believe in God and what it is that we do believe in God and who B'nai Yisrael are and why God has a relationship with us, etc., etc., etc. And then Chorev is supposed to be like the details of the mitzvos. So Rav Hirsch is being super brief here because he, when he's writing it, assumes that you've already read something that he hasn't yet written, but when he's writing the Chorev, he assumes he's going to write it, right? Like, he thinks that you're working off a certain previous knowledge that he's provided because he intends to provide it when writing the Chorev and then never provides it. Chorev is basically the first book that he writes. Okay, and he's very explicit that he intends to write this preamble sefer that he never ended up writing. So if it feels like in Hirsch also, in Rav Hirsch also, you were missing some sort of like further explanation about like why monotheism is so like incredibly important to our belief structure, it's because we are missing it. Because Rav Hirsch intended to do it and then didn't. And we will all have a chabura about that. I mean, I at least will, God willing, in the eternity to come, find some time to schmooze with Rav Hirsch about it. So that's an answer that's a question that I cannot answer in this life. But you never know. Apparently, we get extra shots. Okay, ready? So here's Rav Hirsch. He takes it very differently, and it is beautiful as a hashkafic rewiring of how we look at the world. And again, you'll see it's just like a very different tone than Sefer HaChinuch. Here we go. Okay. Here's Rav Hirsch. Oh, it's so good. Hold on a second. Did I tell you about the person that I'm learning this with? Like, I started this as a chabura with one of the women from my chabura here. We started, like, learning just Rav Hirsch's constant mitzvos. And after I think we're on the sixth or seventh one, I was like, I think this is my favorite one. And she, like, starts cracking up. She's like, Hana, you say that after every single one of these mitzvos. You keep saying, like, this is my favorite one. And that's when I was like, we have to do this chabura with Queens. It's just, like, it's so good, okay? I love this. I love this. Here we go. Ready? Sorry about that, guys. Okay, mitzvah number two. Okay, the unity of God, Achdus Hashem. Again, the same source psukim as the Sefer HaChinuch. He also adds the second one on the bottom. Here we go. Here's Rav Hirsch. Learn the lesson, Israel, from your national experience. Learn it from the word of your God. Understand it and take it to heart that God, whom you have acknowledged as your God, is one and one only. So what he did there is exactly what we would predict that he did based on the previous mitzvah. Remember, his previous mitzvah, unlike the Sefer HaChanuch, focused entirely not on Ha'emunah Ba'Hashem, right? Anochi Hashem. He didn't really talk that much about belief in God. He talked about only belief in God within the context of our experience of God, right? That's Rav Hirsch. You cannot talk about God without talking about the human experience of God at the same time. It just doesn't, you can't do it. It doesn't make sense to us as humans. So here he does exactly that. What does he put first? He doesn't say, learn the lesson God about who God, listen, learn the lesson Israel about who God is from the word of God and from your experience. He puts experience first, right? Learn the lesson Israel from your national experience. Learn it from the word of God. The first thing you're learning it from, it's incredible. I would never do it if a person didn't do it. The first thing you're learning it from is experience, your national experience. If you don't have personal experience, at least you have national experience. And the second thing you're learning it from is the Torah. You can't learn it from the Torah first. It doesn't make sense. You have to first learn it from your experience, your understanding of yourself within the national experience, and then you learn it from the Torah itself, right? It's like beautiful that he just did. He doesn't tell us what we're doing. He just throws it in, okay? The next part is also awesome because I want you to see what Rav Hirsch does. By the way, everything is awesome. It's Rav Hirsch, okay? But the next part is also awesome because listen to what Rav Hirsch does. He's talking about how to understand, again, who is God, right? That God whom you've acknowledged as your God is one and only one. How do you understand something about God? What are the pieces that fall into place for us to begin to develop this understanding of God, which we only sort of developed last time of Kabbalah's Olam HaShamayim, which is accepting our relationship with God. The next few mitzvos, and again, throughout like the 20 mitzvos that he has in Toros, which is a section of Rav Hirsch that we're doing right now, and God willing, we'll get to all of them, is a lot of them are, again, our hashkafic relationship with God. Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem, Achdos Hashem, right? Not in that order, but that's, he's about to get into this. So how do we do that? How do we learn things about God? Here's Rav Hirsch's step-by-step. If you want to learn something about the world around you, and especially religiously, spiritually, here's how you got to do it. The first is the world, right? We look at the context with which we live. The world around you. I'm going to read it, the rest of it fast, okay? The world presents to you a scene of great variety. You see it in creation, order, sustenance. I want you to pay attention to what he's doing here. Hear a call to existence, there a recall from existence. Seed growing into blossom and fruit. Fruit decaying, fruit falling into decay and dust. Dust and decay changing into new seed. Here bare stone, there plants growing lustily. Animals let loose to fend for themselves, and man released from the iron law of compulsion and given freedom of choice. You see unchangeable law ruling in the celestial realms, while on earth there is perpetual change. Okay, so firstly, besides for the fact that Rav Hirsch just taught us, like, we have to start with our experience of the world around us, okay, just as a spoiler alert, he then moves into history, and he then moves into our own experience of our own lives, okay? So that's going to be his rank. But what did he just do there? Why did he just, like, is he just, like, listing poetry? Like, why did he say that? We see all this, like, beautiful stuff in the world around us. What's he pointing out?
That it's cyclical.
That it's cyclical, right, meaning, and therefore, how is it related to Achdos Hashem? It's, like, beautiful.
Your relationship can go up and down.
Yeah. So that, it's not only about the relationship, right? But like, I think what Rav Hirsch is pointing out is that actually, when we look at the world around us, what we're presented with is anything other and everything other than Yichud Hashem. If we're being honest, when we look at the world around us, what we see is absolute opposites. We don't see one thing. We see life and decay and then life again. We see the heavens above and the stars working in absolute predictable patterns and everything on earth being anything but predictable, including, again, ourselves and everything and history and politics and everything, right? We're consistently encountered with the world, and he just started with just the world around us, like the world that we actually experience. We're constantly encountered with something that looks anything but like Yichud Hashem, that there's one thing ruling all this, okay? Sorry, one second. Let me share again. Let's go back into it. He's going to continue. Human history, too, is full of change and variety. You see men created, taught, corrected, trained, then left to themselves, as if without supervision. Then the coming of revelation in one people, among all peoples created, brought up, instructed, and guided. Again, that's something that he would have referred to more in the Moria. You see war and peace, abundance and scarcity, life and death assigned to peoples, nations set up upon the path of history, and the gates of the setting sun open to them. In human history also, right? In all of history, you see massive powers then like drink to nothingness. You see life and death, right? You see this, both the guidance of God and the absolute lack of guidance of God. Your own life too, full of change and variety. You are aware of a power which has placed you here, an eye which watches over you, a voice which guides you, and a law that guides you. of a voice which gives you law, you a law and guides you, of a hand which trains and disciplines you. You seek continual giving and taking away of body, mind, life and death, health and sickness, strength and weakness, spring, joy. You know yourself to occur, body and mind, all upon both risks to suffer and to. It's awesome, isn't it? In the world around us, in human history, and in our own lives, if we're acknowledging it, all we encounter is a world that is filled with opposites and filled with duality. Ending in our own experience of ourselves, too. We know that we're good and evil. We know that we experience things outside of ourselves, like sickness and health and life and death. Well, we haven't quite experienced death yet, right? But life and death, what is that? Strength and weakness, suffering and joy. We experience all those things. We know that we live that duality. And inside of ourselves, too, we know that we have two very opposite natures. So that's what we encounter all the time in our lives, is not Achdus Hashem at all. And this is actually, I remember reading this somewhere, and I have no idea where. And until I read it, I never thought about it. But monotheism is actually the root of basically all of our issues with God. As long as polytheism was like the dominant, it's funny to us to think about because like none of us, like polytheism is like really unappealing to everybody, right? We're all like, how did everyone like serve a Vodazara? Like what ludicrous stuff, right? But serving, if we were people who could believe in two gods, it would take away a lot of the issues that are constantly coming up with this monotheistic God, because you have the bad evil God. And when bad evil stuff happens, it's because the bad evil God is more powerful. And all you have to do is figure out how to appease the bad evil God, or possibly how to appease the good God more, and then good stuff starts to happen, and it's coming from the good God, right? The fact that there's actually one God, and that good and evil both come from that good God, like, that is the root of what we call apikarsis, right? That's the root of our theological issues with the world around us. The word apikarsis comes from Epicurus, Epicurus being the very famous philosopher who said, if God is all-powerful, and God is all good, from whence evil cometh. That is the root of disbelief in God, is this duality. And as long as one God is responsible for our duality, we get into philosophical trouble. It's very theologically challenging to us. If there were two gods responsible, one for good, one for evil, it kind of makes more sense in a certain way, or at least it takes away that sting that we feel about, well, if God is all good and God is all powerful, from whence evil cometh. So Rafarsh is not going to answer that question here. Again, maybe he would have answered it in the Moriah. He's not trying to answer that question. He's not even referring to it. But that's the undertone of the discussion happening here. Okay? So here's where he goes with it, which is an incredible thing that we have to acknowledge before we start. The world presents us not with Achdus Hashem. It presents us with a very different picture. Okay? But however great the variety presented to you, both by nature and by history and by your own life, you have nonetheless grasped the fact, again, he's telling you this is what we should be trying to believe, he's painting the ideal for us, which you must now lay to heart as vital, that all this is the doing of one God. Again, so whatever it is, however we're going to have to answer that question, to be monotheistic, we have to answer that question. If God is all good and God is all powerful, from whence evil cometh, right? It has to all be from God. And he's like, that's what this mitzvah is. It's actually a really big deal. We see so many opposing things that irk us, and we have to believe that above that all is one God. And sometimes it's a lot harder to do that than our taking for granted, because we're all monotheists, that there's one God above it all. It's actually kind of challenging. Through whose will everything everywhere has been and is, and whose will has directed everything that has happened and will happen to you. One God everywhere and in everything. Everything comes from this one God, both in heaven and on earth, and everything therefore conforms to one design, is part of one all-wise plan. All of this duality we see in the world, all of this duality we see in history, all of this duality we see in ourselves, this mitzvah is not just about like, be a monotheist, shkoyach, let's move along. This mitzvah is, we have to believe that somehow it's all part of one design and plan. Somehow, it's all part of one design and plan. Isn't that a beautiful thing? But above all, the most vital lesson to lay to heart is that this one God is your God. Again, this is rehearsed. We knew he was going to do that because he did that last mitzvah too. And that you have acknowledged him in order to live rightly. You are responsible for something here. This is not just like a nice hashkafic mitzvah. I'm not even sure if Hirsch believes in nice hashkafic mitzvahs. He's like, I'm not just telling you like a nice thing that you have to believe. I'm telling you, this should guide how you live. And what we're about to see him do in the rest of this last paragraph of his is sum up the entire Chovos HaLevavos, Shar Bitachon, in one sentence. Basically, well, I mean, this paragraph all does it. This underlined sentence does it itself. This was everything that we discussed for weeks on end in our Chovos HaLevavos Shar B'Tachon chabura. This is it in Rav Hirsch. With this one mitzvah. It's like awesome. Just as the world with all its variety, history and all its change has its origin in the one source, is guided by one hand, serves one being, and strives upward towards this one. Right? Just like history is going somewhere. It's part of one design and one plan, remember? So must you recognize and feel your life with all its changes to issue from one source, to be guided by one hand to flow towards one goal. It goes somewhere. All the different disparity that we experience is part of one design and one plan. You must comprehend your life with all its diversity as proceeding from this one, and you must direct it towards this one, in order that your life may be a unity, just as your God is one. With mind and body, with thought and feeling, with word, deed, and enjoyment, in wealth and poverty, in joy and sorrow, in health and sickness, in freedom and slavery, in life and death. Let me do that again. This should all be underlined. This is his one line that sums up the entire Shaar Bitachon. With mind and body, with thought and feeling, with word, deed, and enjoyment, in wealth and poverty, in joy and sorrow, in health and sickness, in freedom and slavery, in life and death, your life task is everywhere and always the same. For it always proceeds from one God, and has been assigned by the one God as your task in life. Therefore, everything is of equal significance, for in everything and with everything you have been summoned to the service of the one God. Strive to reach this one and be one in your heart as your God is one. Is that awesome? Does that ring familiar? This is Shaar Bitachon. That there is no rank order system of people who lives allow them to do Avodas Hashem and people whose lives do not allow them to do Avodas Hashem. This is a massive fallacy. It is not true. No matter what kinds of things you're encountering in your life, and they will feel throughout the course of your life necessarily at complete odds with each other. Your life will experience extremely different conditions, and every single one of those conditions, in exactly the same way as every single other condition, allows you to be part of this design and plan and to do your duty as part of it. And in that way, your capacity for Avodas Hashem and any part of your life is just as equal to your capacity of Avodas Hashem and any other part of your life, no matter what. And there's no rank order. Again, what does he say? He says it's, therefore, everything is of equal significance. Everything is just as significant as everything else. Again, like literally, I was thinking about this today. I was like, I have to also start bringing personal examples. That's like my new thing. I'm going to start like bringing examples of what we're talking about to like concretize it. I used to always do that in Queens, and then I got like lax, and now I'm trying to do it again. And today's a beautiful example of it, where like for 3 years, I worked on this research that never saw the light of day. I was smashing my head against a wall, right? I was advocating here and there. I was getting shut down. I was getting super frustrated. I finally quit. Today's the first time that anyone has read anything that I have worked on for the past 3 years of my life. And I am getting such beautiful for many of you also. So thank you very much. Thanks, Ayala, for the clapping. Javi, thank you for the discussion earlier today. Brecha, thank you for hearting my thing, right? Like, many of you also, and many, many other people, I have 78 unread messages on my phone right now because let's not see if it's more. It doesn't matter. I need to pick up my phone, right? When I started this chabura, I had 78 unread messages from all sorts of people being like, this is amazing. I'm so happy you said this out loud. One of the people from my chabura here called me, a single woman, called me on the way. She was like, I started writing you a message and I just wanted to say it to you. Like, I feel like that needed to be said. And I'm really happy that you said it. And I can't believe, I'm like encountering like, you're just like a normal person. And you're like saying all, you know, like it was so beautiful. And I feel much more fulfilled right now than I have for these past 3 years. But what Rav Hirsch is saying is like, you'll have times of feeling fulfilled and you'll have times of feeling unfulfilled. But as long as the whole time you're trying to do what's right, it's all Avodas Hashem. And sometimes I'm going to try to do what's right and it's going to be like, I'm going to get lots of accolades for it and that's going to feel good, but it's not going to actually rank better, right? As long as you're trying to do Avodas Hashem, everything in life is as equal to anything else in life. Sometimes you fail, sometimes you succeed. But like, there's no such thing as failure and success in Avodas Hashem as long as you're trying and caring about doing Avodas Hashem. So that's what this is, Achdus Hashem. Our life feels like a whole bunch of opposites. And actually, this is the Hashkafic belief that underneath it, it's all part of one design. And therefore, what does that actually mean in terms of me? For me, practically, it means at any point, I just work on what's directly in front of me and do my best. And there is no, one second, what's his lesson again? Therefore, everything is of equal significance. Oh, so much better. So much better way to say it. It's a positive. It's a positive phrase. I'm like, there is no, I keep like negativing it. Everything is of equal significance. That's this mitzvah of Achdus Hashem.